fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Tuesday, May the 18th, and we are cracking open another fresh episode of the Cale Clark Show. And yeah, that is real. It's not a sound effect, and don't worry. It's just Pepsi Zero Sugar. I haven't gotten my hands on the Dr. Pepper Zero Sugar yet. I don't know if it's north of the 49th yet, but I'll figure it out. I'll find out. Maybe you can send me some. Hey, Lucas. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers to a fresh show.
It's the eternal battle of Coke versus Pepsi. Diet Coke versus Pepsi Zero Sugar. Well, listen, on the Cale Clark Show, obviously, we're all about faith, facts, and fun. We've got all three of those bases covered today. To be sure, I'm going to tell you about an emotional random act of kindness. You're going to love this story. And I want to ask you, this is something that you can call in about. Have you ever experienced a random act of kindness or maybe given one out yourself? 1-888-914-9149 is a toll-free number to call on the Cale Clark Show. 888-914-9149. You can also email the show, cale@relevantradio.com, or you can go on Twitter, @CaleClark is my personal handle. And we also have a show account, too, @CaleClarkShow. And speaking of the show account, there's an interesting poll up there right now because it's also #ILoveReese'sDay. You know, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, of course, and their other products. And I tweeted today, hey, how do you like your Reese's? Do you like the peanut butter cups? Do you like the chocolate bar? Do you like the mini cups? Hey, even the cereal is fair game here. I'll even count that. Reese's Puffs is the name of that one. So let me know. Let me know what you think. You can. And by the way, we've got a poll going on our show account, at Cale Clark Show. There's a big controversy about what is the proper pronunciation of Reese's. Is it Reese's or is it Reese's? How do you say it? Take the poll because I'm going to give you the right answer later in the show. So by that point, the poll will be absolutely moot. So you got to do it now. Go to the show account and check it out. But we'll clear that up. But don't worry, we've got far more weightier things to talk about than all of that. It kind of reminds me of the most interesting man in the world from the old Dos Equis commercials. His words are so weighty, they would break the jaw of lesser men. Well, here's some weighty stuff that we're going to talk about right now. Did you know about the conversion of the atheist who was basically known as Europe's Christopher Hitchens? You remember the late Christopher Hitchens, who really kind of slagged Mother Teresa in the press, if you remember that. Wrote the book, God is Not Great. He was convinced that not only was God dead, but he wanted to keep on polishing his obituary. And Italy's version of Christopher Hitchens converted before he died. And this is a fascinating story. I don't know if you heard about this, but if you want to react to this later, you can call me 888-914-9149. The Venerable John Allen Jr., famed Vatican correspondent, wrote about this in the Angelus News. And the Angelus News is published by the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. So I want to say hi to all of our fans out in L.A. We have a lot of listeners in California, especially in Los Angeles. So this is obviously your archdiocesan paper, if you will. And John Allen writes about this gentleman named Giosuè Carducci. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And so John Allen says, basically, Italians were shocked to find out that this guy had a near deathbed conversion. It was a little bit like if Christopher Hitchens had secretly converted to Catholicism late in his life. That's exactly what's going on here. And those who are unbelievers in Italy are very dismayed about this. The reports that Giosuè Carducci, who was a poet, by the way, who was really active in the late 19th century, an ardent atheist, an anti-cleric, and he once composed, believe it or not, I hate to say this, this is so blasphemous, he composed a quote-unquote hymn to Satan, and this was much celebrated. But 30 years after he did this, he confessed his sins and died in the embrace of Holy Mother Church. But here's the thing, he never told anybody about his conversion. Now, how do we know this? Because obviously he died a long time ago. Well, very recently, the Italian cardinal Angelo Comastri, who used to be the archpriest at St. Peter's Basilica, he's now retired, spoke about it on Italian Catholic TV. There was a series of daily video meditations that were produced for the month of May, and he told this story. And it shocked a lot of people because to this very day, in school, Italian kids study the poetry of Giosuè Carducci. And he was, by the way, he was the first Italian ever to win the Nobel Peace, not the Nobel Peace Prize, but the Nobel Prize in Literature. He was an ardent nationalist, according to John Allen, a bitter foe of the Pope and the Pope's civil rule. And he really gave a voice to a lot of the frustrations, a lot of the resentments that a lot of Italians had about the church and about the influence of the Pope, the influence of the Vatican over their daily lives. They almost viewed it as a kind of a theocracy, like ancient Israel. And they just, a lot of Italians obviously resisted this, to be sure. So this is a quote from his very blasphemous hymn to Satan that he wrote, Giosuè Carducci. And he said, and this is translated from the Italian original, so maybe lacks the rhyme and some of the some of what makes it so striking in the original. But he said, quote, "As Martin Luther threw off his monkish robes, so you throw off your shackles, O mind of man, and crowned with flame, shoot lightning and thunder. Matter, arise. Satan has won." This is just terrible. And it goes on to say, "You have utterly vanquished the Jehovah of the priests." I mean, this is just terrible stuff, to be sure. But according to the retired Cardinal Angelo Comastri, speaking on Italian TV, Giosuè Carducci, who wrote those words, at the end of his life, he said he arrived in the arms of Jesus, and it was actually Our Lady who brought him home to us. How did this happen? Well, the story goes that back in the 1890s, when he was in his 60s, Giosuè Carducci went to visit a place called Courmayeur, which is a mountain town in Italy's far northern Valdosta region. And when he was there, he met somebody named Abbot Pietro Chenu. And Father Chenu ran a small hospice for visitors at the foot of one of the Alpine peaks. And the hospice was called Piccolo San Bernardo. And the reason why it was called that was because there was a tradition that this place was founded by St. Bernard himself back in the 11th century. So Father Chenu, Abbot Pietro Chenu, he was quite famous as a preacher, but he was the perfect guy for Carducci, this atheist poet, to talk to, because Father Chenu was also a bit of a poet. He was an amateur poet, to be sure, but he loved science, and he was really intelligent. And so Giosuè, again, I'm butchering his name, I'm sure, but Giosuè Carducci, who's this atheist poet, he actually loved talking to Father Chenu, because Father Chenu actually set up an observatory, a botanical garden at the hospice, and he used to actually classify, study the herbs of the mountain Alps. And actually, he was kind of the person who spearheaded the very first scientific discovery research into the herbs of the Alps, for what it's worth. I don't know. But one evening in 1895, Giosuè Carducci and Father Chenu started talking, and Carducci, out of nowhere, the atheist, said he wanted this priest to hear his confession. Now, obviously, he'd been thinking about it for a while, and probably just being around him, he felt like this priest was someone he could trust. And so, from that moment on, Giosuè Carducci returned to the faith, but he never told anybody about it. It was all in private. So the timing of this was quite interesting, to be sure, because that year that he came back to the church, it was 1895, and that was 25 years after the 25th anniversary of what happened in the year 1870. And if you know your history, that was the year that Republican troops breached the Holy Door in Rome, the Porta Pia, and overthrew the Papal States. And on this 25th anniversary of that occasion, the Italian government declared it a national holiday. September the 20th was declared a national holiday to commemorate the defeat of the Pope and the Papal States. Well, obviously, there's still a lot of practicing Catholics in Italy, and some of the local mayors who are Catholic, they said, we're not going to do this. We are not going to host this celebration. We're not going to declare this a holiday. Because the Pope at the time, Pope Leo XIII, he wanted all Catholics to boycott this secular holiday. So what did the government do? They said to all these mayors, okay, if you're not going to celebrate this holiday, you are now suspended and you're not the real mayor. We're taking your job away. So the concept that this atheist Republican chose that very day to return to the faith, that was probably on purpose. It's a real conversion. I'm sure that didn't escape him. So the reason why we know all this and the reason why the cardinal was able to talk about this is because all of this came to light back in 1980. St. Luigi Orione, who was beatified in 1980 during the process of the investigation of his cause for sainthood, through all that paperwork, it was discovered that St. Luigi Orione learned about Carducci's confession and how he converted. And he apparently interviewed a whole bunch of people about this, and nobody knew about this. He was traveling across Italy, talked to all these people, and this came out. Oh, by the way, did you hear that this atheist poet, Giosuè Carducci, converted right before he died? No, I didn't know that. So now, at one point, apparently Carducci was asked why he didn't want to tell anyone that he had come back to the Catholic faith. And his answer was, I'm too weak to talk about it strongly. I'm too weak. I'm near death. I can't talk about this in public. I'm going to be raked over the coals. And you know what? He probably would have been, for sure. And it's very much like something I mentioned the other day on the show, that when the atheist Antony Flew became a theist, became a believer in God, and he had this famous debate with one of my professors, Dr. Gary Habermas, on the question of did Jesus rise from the dead? And most people thought Antony Flew got his clock cleaned in that debate, and he was defeated by a panel of people who were there. They did a poll, and there's a book that you can read the book for yourself and decide for yourself whether he lost that debate or not. But eventually, he kept looking into this issue, and he eventually decided before he died, I believe in God now, and he wrote a memoir about it. And the atheist community just ripped this guy to shreds. They didn't want to hear anything about this. They said, Antony Flew, you know, one flew over the cuckoo's nest here. He has lost it in his old age. And no doubt, probably Giosuè Carducci probably thought the same thing. If I go public with this, they're just going to pillory me. But I think it's a bit of cowardice on his part, to be sure. I mean, you look at St. Paul and what St. Paul said today, you know, in today's first reading, when he's talking at Miletus, you know, with the elders of the church, and he knows that he's never going to see these people again. You know, he's done everything he can. He's expended every last ounce of his energy to preach the gospel to as many people as possible. He is absolutely unashamed of the gospel. And he talks about that in his writings. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God. And so for us, even though we can say maybe this guy was a bit of a coward in the end, the good news is he did convert. He did convert. He did change his spots. And that doesn't happen that often. But it should give us hope that maybe even the hardest cases in our own lives are – no one is beyond God's reach. No one is beyond God's reach. And John Allen says on a pastoral level, maybe the moral of this story is that in religion, like in politics, there are no permanent friends and no permanent enemies. Now, in politics, what's permanent are people's interests. But in religion, what's permanent is hope, even for everyone who seems so distant from the faith right now, because you just never know. So never, never give up. Never give up on anybody. And I think that's what's so great about the story of Europe's Christopher Hitchens, if you will, Giosuè Carducci, and how he converted, came back to the faith before he died. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 1-888-914-9149. We'll be right back with a great story about a random act of kindness that touched a lot of hearts. I want to hear about if that's happened to you. Call me, 914-9149. Be right back. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Explaining the Catholic faith and how you can live it and share it too. It's the Cale Clark Show. Have a question? Give Cale a call at 888-914-9149.
Hey, one thing you can call about is whether or not you've received in your lifetime a random act of kindness, or maybe been the giver of that random act. 1-888-914-9149. You know, WRTV News in Indianapolis told a story about something that happened this past Sunday about this guy named Tyler Wilson who died a few years ago. And he loved cake. When he was around, he loved cake. And his mother knew that. So on what would have been Tyler Wilson's 35th birthday this past Sunday, his mom, and her name is Toni, decided that she would help brighten somebody else's birthday. So Toni Wilson Taylor visited the Kroger Bakery in Plainfield, Indiana, to purchase something called a canasta cake. I'm not quite sure what that is, but that was apparently her son Tyler's favorite. And she asked employees to deliver it to somebody who shared a birthday with her son. Now, Tyler Wilson, who passed away 5 years ago when he was only 29 years old, was a doctor. He had just completed his residency at St. Francis Hospital. Apparently, he was a great guy, loved Superman, loved Captain America. Sounds like my kind of dude, to be sure. And so Tyler's mom went to the Kroger Bakery and said, "Hey, is there somebody who was going to be celebrating a birthday and picking up a cake that day?" And they said, "Yeah, there's quite a few people on the docket here that are going to be picking up cakes." And she said, "Well, I just want to pay for somebody's cake." And she wrote a little note, and she just randomly picked someone's cake, paid for it, and put a note in with that cake. And here's what the note said. "Today is my son's 35th birthday, his fifth one in heaven. In his memory, I've paid for your birthday cake. Please enjoy, make special memories, and hug your children and loved ones tight. My son loved cake. Love, Toni, Tyler's mom." So she was surprised. Later in the day, she happened to be surfing Facebook. And later that Sunday, she saw that the person who had actually received that cake, that gift, and that note to go along with it, her name was Carolyn. Carolyn had posted that note on the Town of Plainfield Facebook page. And a number of comments just flowed out after she posted this. Somebody wrote, "Dear Toni, I know who you are, and I want to express how moved I am by this. This means so much. My husband and I cried together. With the turmoil of things going on, it reminds us of what really matters, and that's life." There are all kinds of incredible comments like that when this note, this story was posted. And Toni, Tyler's mom, said it was so touching and overwhelming, so many happy tears, a lot of sad tears too, on his death anniversary. He was so loved and such a wonderful guy. And the person who received the cake, and her name again was Carolyn, she had recently endured her own loss, and she had just lost her own mother 3 months before. With everything going on in her life, it just touched her really deeply. She was really moved that somebody did this for her. She said, "You know, I've got to figure out some ways that I can honor my mom too and do something similar." So what a great story about a random act of kindness. And have you ever received a random act of kindness like that? Let me know. 1-888-914-9149. It's a great way to spark joy. We're going to go to the phones right now. Joanne is calling from Arcadia, California. Hey, Joanne. Have you received a random act of kindness?
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you for calling.
I first want to say I love your station, but when I heard about you talking about random acts of kindness, I just want to say that I do them often because it makes me feel really good, and I know, you know, the recipient feels really good too.
Absolutely.
And my belief is the key to living is giving. But anyhow, I had some heart surgery done a year and a half ago, and I made sure that before I left, I got the names of all six people that were on my team, a surgeon, a doctor, and then four other people. And I have been meaning to get down there because I wanted to thank them in person because they were just all wonderful, wonderful people. I couldn't have asked for, you know, better. And just with life and things happening, I couldn't get down there until yesterday. And I went down there, and I wrote each person their own separate thank you card. And I tucked in a Starbucks gift card, and I just thanked them for, you know, being a part of my medical team that saved my life. And I was able to talk to two of the girls, and I was also able, they paged one of the doctors, and he had some time, and I got to visit with him for a minute. And I can't tell you how good it made me feel, and I know that they were just so thrilled, too.
Oh, absolutely. What a wonderful thing to do. I'd imagine that probably, I mean, we're all grateful to our doctors, but probably not too many people make the effort to actually come back and thank each individual person. And what was their reaction when you gave them the gift card?
Oh, my gosh. Well, the one gal, she I think was like part of the X-ray on the team, and the other one was as a nurse. And it's like you would have thought I gave them the world. They were like thrilled out of their mind. And I just can't tell you how happy that made me feel. It just made me feel so good. I mean, you know, just
that's great.
Because I love people and it just really touched me very much.
Yeah, and it touches us too. And Joanne, you know, as Scripture says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And we get so much more out of it, don't we? And it's so great. And speaking of heart, you know, obviously your heart's been touched and your heart's been healed. And I hope you're doing well. I hope your health is good. And a year later, how's everything health-wise? Oh, I think we might have lost Joanne there. But anyway, so that was a great call by Joanne talking about a kind act that she did for the doctors and nurses who helped with her heart surgery last year. What a wonderful call. We're going to go now to John, who is calling from La Habra, California. Hey, John, welcome to the show.
Hey, Cale, how you doing? Love your show. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can. I was a little bit worried that I was off the air myself when I lost Joanne. I was like, either she's gone or I'm gone. I don't know which, but I'll just keep talking here. So I can hear you, John, loud and clear.
Well, I don't think I have quite a glorious story as the previous caller, but like I was telling your screener, I kind of felt a random act of kindness, I think, on both sides. You know, not too long ago, I was like at one of these smoothie places and was getting some smoothies for the family. And I told the clerk, hey, the car ahead of me, whatever they got, I'll pay for it. And, you know, kind of the joy in their face when they got out of the car and thanked me was pretty awesome.
Oh, wow.
I think when you're on the other end of it, I think it, to me, it's a lot more meaningful. I was driving my truck. It died on me, and I was kind of stuck in the middle of the road. This guy came out of nowhere. I think the guy was a guardian angel. I have no idea.
Wow.
But he came out of nowhere, helped get my car to the side. Before I could thank him, he was already gone.
Wow.
So I think when you receive an act of kindness, I think on the other end, I think you feel, you kind of feel a sense of vulnerability. But then you understand what Jesus meant when he said, you know, to do unto others, you know, to give to the poor. So, like, I guess when you give to people in need, that's what they feel. So I think it really helps, I think, when you feel it on the other direction as well.
Yeah, I think so. And it takes real humility to receive a gift as well, because sometimes in our pride, we don't want to let people do things for us. But you're depriving them of the chance to give a gift, number one, and for you to receive a grace. So I think that's awesome that you've kind of been on both sides of the equation. And yeah, very often you hear these stories about drive-thrus where someone will just say, hey, I'll pay for the coffee of the person behind me. And then it just kind of keeps going like dominoes, and there's a huge line of everybody just paying for the person behind them, and it's a great day for everybody, to be sure. And hey, thanks so much for that call, John. Really appreciate you. Thanks for listening. That was John calling from La Habra, California. All right, we're going to go now to Margaret in Shannon, Wisconsin. Hey, Margaret, welcome to the show. Margaret, can you hear me? Oh, I think we lost Margaret. We're going to go now to Denise in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. Hey, Denise, welcome to the show.
Hi, Gail. Thank you very much. I just want to share something that I do. I live and teach in a urban low-income area, mm-hmm. and a lot of people in my neighborhood and my schools do not have transportation. So you go through the city on a rainy day and you see people walking around soaking wet, sometimes with a baby carriage. So I go to a local discount store and I pick up some umbrellas and I just pass them out to people that are walking outside in the rain.
That's
and I
awesome.
Encourage other people to do that too. They're so appreciative and I just think it's so sad that they're walking out in the rain. Soaking
yeah.
wet, and it just makes me feel good.
Yeah, so you know, it sure does. And what an easy thing to do too. That's a wonderful story, Denise. And what a practical way to serve others and help them, and kind of share the love of God in just a great way. I received a random act of kindness too once that was pretty nice. One day I was on the way to a baseball game, a Toronto Blue Jays game in downtown Toronto. I didn't have tickets. I was going to try to get scalpers tickets, and I was with my girlfriend at the time, and yeah, Trish, I did have a girlfriend before I met you, if you're listening. And that's another story. But having said that, I was planning on just getting tickets from a scalper, like I said, and then all of a sudden, near the Sky Dome where the Blue Jays play, the stadium where they operate out of, guy just pulls up out of nowhere on a motorbike wearing a suit, and he had a really nice motorbike and a really nice suit. He must have been some sort of a stockbroker from Bay Street, which is kind of our version of Wall Street, if you will. And he just said, hey, you going to the game? And I said, yeah, we're thinking about it. And he said, well, here's some tickets for you. And he gave me two tickets, and they were like prime seats. They're right behind home plate. It was amazing. And so that was just a great gift. And anyway, so it's always a great thing when you receive a random act of kindness, and if you can pay it forward, so much the better. So thanks so much for that call, Denise. Really appreciate you listening in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. We're going to go now to Janet calling from New Jersey. Hey, Janet, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you? Good to hear from you.
Fantastic.
Yes, I just wanted to share. There?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead. I can hear you. Can you hear me? Go ahead.
My mom had a stroke, I guess, about 6 months ago, and we live in South Jersey. I had to go down to the shore. She's 95 and a half. And mm-hmm. so I took her down, put her in her wheelchair, and we just walked the boardwalk. And it's kind of a long, rough day. And I stopped for some coffee. And a woman in front of me just started talking to me and paying a whole lot of attention when she paid. And I go to pay, and she must have seen my situation and just said, you know, the woman before you paid for you. And so I said, well, I turned around to the lady behind me and I said, I'm paying for you. So
nice.
It made me feel so good that somebody cared about me and I wanted to do something for someone else as well.
That's a great story. And we should all emulate that too. So thanks, Janet, for that story. That was Janet calling from New Jersey. Yeah, this is really something that sparks a lot of joy. And I read an interesting piece on joy and humor from Ellen Maddy over at our Sunday Visitor. And one of the things that she said is that, you know, joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And it totally characterized Jesus's life. As we're getting ready for Pentecost, obviously, this coming Sunday, we need to think about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And the scriptures actually talk about it. And I've mentioned this before on the show. Jesus had a very well-refined sense of humor. And he had a lot of Jewish humor that sometimes goes over our head. But joy was really surrounding Christ throughout his entire time on planet Earth. When he was born, the angels announced his coming with what? Tidings of great joy. And when he died, before he died, on the eve of his death, Jesus speaking to his disciples, he said, I have told you this. You know, he's telling them all the stuff that's going to happen. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. And this is my commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. It's kind of interesting that Jesus juxtaposed the idea of total joy, complete joy. And the very next thing he says is love of neighbor. Love one another as I have loved you. And how did he love us? Just look at the crucifix. It's a total gift of self. So we can't really have the fullness of joy without loving each other. And this is what these random acts of kindness remind me of. It's not an afterthought. This is absolutely essential to our Catholic life, to be sure. I love this. I love this. It's an absolutely great topic. We're going to go now to Caroline calling from Chicago. Hey, Caroline.
Hi, Cale. How are you?
I'm well. And yourself?
Good, thank you. I'm calling to, talk about a random act of kindness that I did, but then I received something in return.
Great.
About a year ago, I had an offer for a position, and I had requested an increase in pay. Mm-hmm. And I was a little nervous, but mm-hmm. I had done the act, and then I went on to go on a walk outside my office just to kind of clear my head, and a homeless man approached me and asked me to buy him some food. So I went to the nearest 7-Eleven, got him some food, and then when I gave him the food, he asked me for a bus ticket, so I went back in, got him a bus ticket, and then he asked me for a couple more items from Walgreens, and then eventually mm-hmm. I got to the point where I probably spent like $150
wow.
for him, and I was like, okay, this is a little bit more than I had anticipated, but...
Yeah, what's next? Are you going to ask me to lease a BMW for you? I mean, come on. No, I'm only kidding. But anyway, so it's getting a little bit much at this point.
Yeah, and, you know, I felt like he did talk to me about his faith, and it was a very touching moment. He asked me to pray with him. And then I went back into my office, and I got a call from the recruiter that they accepted my request for a higher pay. And in that moment, I felt like Jesus was asking me to show that I will use the income that I have to serve him in some shape or form. And that was just like a moment in between to prove that, you know, God will answer our prayers if we do good.
So. I love that story, Caroline, because it's as Jesus said, whoever can be trusted with little, you know, can be trusted with much. And mm-hmm. so... you got it paid back in a sense, right? And you gave, and then you were taken care of as well. You got a raise. So congrats. And that's a great story. Yeah. Thank you very much for calling in, Caroline. That's awesome. And thanks for listening to the program. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 1-888-914-9149. We're going to squeeze in one more call before we take our break. Margaret is calling from Shannon, Wisconsin. Margaret, you're on the air. You're back. We
Hi,
lost
Cale.
You for a minute, but now you're
I
back.
Am. I'm sorry. I hit the mute button on accident before.
That's okay.
My story is my mom had passed away several years ago, and my son was in prison for a couple of years, and I couldn't spend either of their birthdays with them. And so what I did is... I decided on each of their birthdays that I would go to the homeless shelter here in Shano, which happens to be Sam 25 for Shano area, Matthew 25. And I did the meals for them on those days. And I took birthday cake both times and celebrated their birthdays. And the people thought, well, why are you bringing us birthday cake? I said, well, because it's my mom's birthday or it's my son's birthday. So that's my story.
Oh, that's great. Thank you very much for sharing that, Margaret. Yeah, so much that we can do to brighten other people's lives by just showing a little bit of kindness. It just takes a bit of effort, but the rewards that not only others receive, knowing that you care, but what we get back is just so much more. Really appreciate that call. That was Margaret from Shano, Wisconsin. Got to take a quick break right now on The Cale Clark Show, but we'll be right back after this. Hang tight. Got a fun segment for you coming up next.
Faith, facts, and fun. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, speaking of fun, it is hashtag I Love Reese's Day. And I want to know, how do you like your Reese's? Do you like the classic peanut butter cup? Do you like the minis? Do you like the bar? Do you like the Reese's Puff cereal? I don't know. Reese's Pieces. We'll talk about that in a second. Give me a call. 888-914-9149. You can tweet at me at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E, and follow me on Twitter there. And also our show account, at Cale Clark Show. And on the show account, of course, there was this poll that we had going. And producer Lucas, if you can give me the results here. Now, we were asking the question, what's the proper pronunciation of Reese's? Is it in fact Reese's, or is it supposed to be Reese's? And what are people saying right now?
The majority of the people are saying that Reese's is the correct pronunciation. 72%. However, 27% are saying Reese's.
Reese's,
so,
okay.
It's a little bit actually higher than I would have guessed.
Well, we shall see who is right. We're going to hear from an expert. It's Laura Renard, who is somebody who works in communications for the Hershey Company, who, of course, makes these peanut butter cups and all the delicious products associated with them. Let's hear what she has to say about it.
I work on the corporate communications team at the Hershey Company. The Reese's brand is named after H.B. Reese, who invented the product. He's from Hershey, Pennsylvania. Milton Hershey, who is the founder of the Hershey Company, knew him, bought the brand, and now it's part of the Hershey Company family. And to settle it once and for all, it's Reese's peanut butter cups. Not Reese's, Reese's. There is no wrong way to eat a Reese's. One of the right ways is to put it in the freezer and eat them cold. Very good.
So there you have it. It is Reese's. There's no wrong way to eat it, but there is a wrong way to say it. So Reese's, people, sorry, you are wrong. You're badly mistaken. However, having said that, let's focus on tastier. And I couldn't agree with Laura more. Cold chocolate is the way to go every single time. I drive my wife crazy because I always like to put chocolate in the fridge. I like it cold. Don't like it warm. Yeah, I just love cold chocolate. Anyways, so yeah, I'm all over that. What about you, Lucas?
Oh, I totally agree. Frozen is the best.
Yep. I don't really go frozen, but maybe I should. Like, I'm content with just refrigerated, but... Take it up another level.
Freeze.
Yeah, absolutely. Take it down a few degrees and freeze it. I'm Canadian, so I should be comfortable with that extra cold. But having said that, you know, Reese's, one of the things it's known for, it's not just their famous peanut butter cups, but, of course, the 1982 classic movie E.T., The Extraterrestrial. Remember that one? Steven Spielberg. That was a classic film from my childhood. I remember seeing that when I was about 9 years old. And that was really one of the first films to do product placement. I was actually going to try to play you a little clip from the movie, but there's no real sound to it, so it'd be really bad for radio. But there was a commercial because they re-released E.T. back in, I think it was 2002, and they did a little bit of an ad campaign because E.T. was known for, as you're probably aware, loving Reese's Pieces. So here's the ad.
E.T.'s back, and you can see him for free. When you buy Reese's candy, you can get free movie tickets. See in-store displays for details.
Good. Yeah, so that was the best I could come up with. You know, good. That was E.T. eating the Reese's Pieces. And no, you can't see it for free anymore. That was back in 2002. I had to comb through the YouTube archives to find something decent for you there. But yeah, Lucas, that was the first time that I can think of that product placement became a thing in the movies. And when I was a kid, we saw E.T. and we were like, Dad, please buy us Reese's Pieces. And he did. He bought us a bag of Reese's Pieces. So and I pretended I was E.T. eating them. How about that? So
yeah, that's funny. Yeah, well, you know what's funny? When you were saying that, I took this class when I was an undergraduate, and I remember it was a marketing course, and the professor was talking about, like, subliminal marketing.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And actually, recently, this past weekend, I was watching a Marvel movie with my wife, and in the movie, Hulk is eating Ben and Jerry's ice cream. So I was thinking to myself, like, it's such a subtle thing, but now I want to eat Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
Absolutely.
Because the Hulk is eating it, and I want to be cool like the Hulk.
Do you think you'll be as strong as the Hulk if you eat Ben and Jerry's?
Probably not.
No, I don't think so. The only muscle that will get bigger is your belly, probably. like me. But yeah, no, it's true. Maybe we could do that from a Catholic perspective. What are some subliminal Catholic marketing moves we can make with our friends? You know, what do you think?
Well, I was thinking about, oh gosh, I mean, you could probably just wear like wearing saints medals. Maybe that's a subliminal way of evangelizing without saying anything, but people see you and there you go. And it sparks curiosity or plants a seed maybe. Or there's the classic rosary beads over the rear view window.
Yeah, my take on that is that people who have their rosaries hanging off the rear view window mirror, they probably never pray it. It's like a talisman, you know. It's like, maybe I'm being a little judgmental on that. Maybe people, I've never seen anybody actually do that. Okay, let's grab the rosary off the rear view mirror and start praying it. Maybe I'm wrong. You can disabuse me of that notion.
What are some other subliminal evangelization strategies? You know,
it's funny because there was a guy in my parish who used to wear literally this huge pectoral cross. I mean, it was like something a bishop would wear. And every time I saw this guy, he'd just be wearing like a normal dress shirt and he'd have this huge pectoral cross, you know, hanging around his neck. And I always wanted to come up to him and say, hey, congratulations on your Episcopal ordination. That's fantastic. Which diocese are you running? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, that may be for some people to be really in your face about it. Obviously, I think our friends, our close friends and family members should know where we stand for sure. So I don't think I'd go that obvious. But I think one thing that's great is just when you're out eating with your family, if you're at a restaurant, just to say grace publicly. People see that. And you know, maybe the next table, somebody might say, wow, somebody still believes. It might give them a little bit of hope. You never know.
Yeah, I like that. And that's a great segue, Kale. Speaking of hope, we have a caller on the line who's named
Hope. Okay, well, let's hear
California.
What she has to say. Hey, Hope, welcome to the show. You are on the Kale Clark Show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Kale. This is Hope. I'm actually calling because you're talking about the Reese's products or Hershey's products. And I work with someone that his daughter gives us samples. Sometimes they're chocolates and they don't even make it to the shelves that the consumer would even taste.
Oh, really?
And not just Reese's, but all Hershey's. Yeah.
Wow.
So I just, on my way out the door, I grabbed the Reese's big cup vessel from the refrigerator.
Yes.
And
your fridge person, too.
My way home.
That's awesome. So,
you know, I could eat it either way, warm or cold.
Warm or cold, okay. Yeah, well, hey, you'll take it. You'll take it either way. So are you talking about like experimental chocolates that never make it to the consumer? Here's some stuff we're testing out. Is that the sort of stuff you're talking about?
Is there
anything strange that you saw like, wow, that would never fly if people actually got to taste this? There's a reason why it's an experimental chocolate. This is not good.
Well, in the Reese's, not really, in Hershey's and some of the other products, I've had Kit Kat and like mint chocolate, some items, like a mocha Kit Kat that I've not seen it at the stores, but it's not the best, but...
you know what? It's all good. It's all worth a try to be sure. And it's good to know that you're on, you know, you'll take it either way, but you're basically on team cold chocolate. So you're on my side of things, Hope. I do appreciate that call. That was Hope calling from California on hashtag I love Reese's Day. Well, of course, it's also a day in the month of May, and that means we need to hear from Newman. Hello, Newman.
Kramer.
Hello, Newman.
Hello, Newman.
Hello, Newman.
Hello, Newman.
Hello, Newman.
Hello, Newman.
Let's say hello to St. John Henry Newman, Cardinal Newman, and obviously Cardinal Newman. We've been talking about this all throughout the month of May. He wrote a reflection for every day in May based on one of the titles of Mary, and of course, May is the month of Mary. One of the Marian titles in the Litany of Loretto. So let's look at today's entry, and this is for Mary, the Seat of Wisdom. why she called the seat of wisdom. And here's what Newman says. He says, Mary has this title in her litany because the Son of God, who is also called in Scripture, the Word and the Wisdom of God, once dwelt in her. And then after his birth, was carried in her arms and seated in her lap in his first years, thus being, as it were, the human throne of him who reigns in heaven. She is called the seat of wisdom. Makes sense. And often you'll see statues of Mary with the infant Christ seated on her lap. She's kind of like his throne. He is wisdom incarnate, and she is the seat of wisdom. But there's more. Newman says this. He says, the possession of her son lasted beyond his infancy. He was under her rule, as St. Luke tells us, and lived with her in her house until he went forth to preach. That is, for at least a whole 30 years. And this brings to us a reflection about her, cognate to that which was suggested to us yesterday by the title of Mirror of Justice. For if such close and continued intimacy with her son created in her a sanctity inconceivably great, must not also the knowledge which she gained during those many years from his conversation of present, past, and future have been so large, so profound, so diversified, so thorough that even though she was a poor woman without human advantages, she must, in her knowledge of creation, the universe, and of history, have excelled the greatest of philosophers. In her theological knowledge, she would have excelled the greatest of theologians. In her prophetic discernment, the most favored of prophets. Wow, that's an interesting insight from Newman. Just simply hanging out with Jesus would clearly be an education in itself. And this is what's said in the Acts of the Apostles of the first disciples, even though it says they were unschooled, ordinary men. That doesn't mean that they were unintelligent. It simply means they weren't trained rabbis. How do they know all this stuff? Well, it says they took note that they had been with Jesus. Yeah, that's why they were smart. They learned from the best. They learned from wisdom incarnate. And think about Mary spending so many years with him. The incredible wisdom of her son, what she would have learned. Obviously, soaking this all in, that helps to make her the seat of wisdom. So check this out. Check out what Newman says next. He says, what was the grand theme of conversation between her and her son? But the nature, the attributes, the providence, and the works of Almighty God. In other words, there was no small talk going on. They were talking about weighty things, right? Would not our Lord, he says, be ever glorifying the Father who sent him? Would he not unfold to Mary the solemn eternal decrees, the purposes of God, the will of God? Would he not from time to time enlighten her in all those points of doctrine which have been settled in the church from the time of the apostles until now? And all that shall be until the end. Yes, these and far more than these, all that is obscure, all that is fragmentary in revelation would, so far as the knowledge is possible, be brought out to her in clearness and simplicity by him who is the light of the world. And of the events which are to come, God spoke to the prophets. We have his communications to them in Scripture, but he spoke to them in figure and parable. Now, this is an amazing insight from Newman. Check this out. Newman says, there was one, Moses, to whom God said, I will speak to you face to face. If there be among you a prophet of the Lord, God says, I will appear to him in a vision, and I will speak to him in a dream. But it is not so with my servant Moses, for I will speak to him mouth to mouth, and plainly, not by riddles and figures, does he see the Lord. Newman says, this was the great privilege of the lawgiver of the Jews, but how much more was that given to Mary? Moses only had the privilege now and then from time to time, but Mary for 30 continuous years saw and heard him, being all through that time face to face with him and being able to ask him any question which she wanted to be explained, and knowing that the answers she received were from the eternal God who neither deceives nor can be deceived. What a cool insight. Moses spoke with God face to face. Mary did that every single day for 30 years. Unreal. Unbelievable. And so that's Mary, the seat of wisdom. Pray for us. Pray for us now and at the hour of our death. All the time. We need it. We absolutely need it. All right. We're going to go to Laura, who is calling from Newark, Illinois. Hey, Laura. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Cale. Thanks for taking my call. I know we've changed topics by now, but I wanted to share an amazing story. amazing story of kindness that happened to us a number of years ago. We have a large family, and throughout our marriage, my husband's been laid off a number of times as well. And we were getting ready for an 800-mile trip for my parents' anniversary. And my husband got laid off. And then we decided, well, okay, we don't know where the money's coming from, but we're going anyway. We're going to go honor my parents.
Nice.
And so we went on the trip. By the time we came back, we had kids that were sick, so like people's kids throwing up in the car all the way home. We got home at 3 o'clock in the morning, which was just the most insane, crazy trip. And we get home and we walk in the door, and we don't know who, but some of our friends got together and they bought us food. They stocked our chest freezer.
Oh, wow.
They stocked our pantry. They built a set of shelves. Four shelves high and 16 feet long in the basement.
That's amazing.
And loaded them up with
Laura, I'm so sorry. I got to jump in. We're really up against it. That's an incredible story of kindness. And I'm so glad that you shared that. I'm so glad we got you in. Ronnie in Brooklyn, I see you there. Sorry we missed you. We'll get you next time. Bonnie in Oakland, call back tomorrow. Take it away, Michaela. We'll see you tomorrow on The Cale Clark Show.
Thank you for listening to my dad.